Shauna McLarnan is a Canadian expat living in Ukraine. She's with a group called Umagma. You're in Canada right now, but you now live in Ukraine.
Yeah, I'm from the Yukon Territory originally, Whitehorse.
Okay, from Whitehorse. And how long have you been living in Ukraine?
About 7 years, on and off, because we came back here to give birth to my daughter. We're living in Kremenets in Ternopolsky Oblast. I met my husband in Moscow and we were at a concert. So we actually met as, you know, spectators. But the next day we met and we decided to have a sample jam, because when we met each other, he said, you know, I'm a guitarist. And I said, well, I'm a vocalist. And, you know, neither one of us took each other seriously because, you know, we were in a concert and everyone's a musician. So,
right.
So the next day we actually tried a little jam session in the kitchen, and we realized we were talented and we wanted to try something. And in parallel, we were trying something musically and romantically. So that developed into a marriage and a Magma that you know today. And we came to Ukraine during the Orange Revolution. So we were living in Moscow until that point. And then, you know, his patriotism kind of awoken at that point. And we moved to Kiev in a rush to be part of that.
So what's a good Canadian girl like you doing running off to Moscow?
I guess you could say I was pretty addicted to Russia. For some reason, I couldn't get enough of it. So I guess at one point I really loved Russia, but the rose-colored glasses are off. And I just kind of realized now I was addicted to Russia. So I lived in Siberia to research and to try help with Aboriginal development in Eastern Siberia. Mm-hmm. And then after that, I just looked for any excuse to go back to Russia. And that took me back to Moscow as a manager for the Canadian Red Cross. After that, I just said, you know, every time I go back to Canada, it's because my studies have ended or my research project has ended or my job contract has come up. And then when I get back to Canada, I'm always looking for a way to go back to Russia. So I decided, no, this time I'm going to stick it out and find something on the ground. And I was like about a week away from leaving Moscow when I met my husband. So we stayed another year and a half and then we moved to Ukraine.
So you're not Ukrainian or Russian background yourself?
No, I just focused on it in my graduate studies. And then I went there in my postgraduate research. So it was all surrounding Siberia and Aboriginal Northern development, stuff like that. So my grandmother, she was Ivanchuk, but she's my father's stepmother. She's not my grandmother by blood, but she's the only grandma I knew on that side.
So tell us about the music that you make.
We're actually crossing 8 genres of music.
8?
Yeah, and it's I guess it's unique in that way, because I don't know many bands that cross more than 3 or 4 genres, but we're crossing like 8.
What are they?
Definitely dream pop comes to mind, because I think pretty much never has there been a review that has not mentioned the word dream pop or pop rock. So we're like pop rock, dream pop, indie rock, post punk, shoegaze, folk rock, jazz pop, and synth pop and indie-tronic. So there's been an ambient and ethereal. I think I just listed 12, actually.
You know, Sean, at this point, when you get through that many, you probably are creating a genre of your own.
Actually, I wouldn't say we're creating a genre of our own, because you really have to have colleagues who are doing the same thing to say that's a whole genre. But I'd definitely say we've created a sound of our own.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that is when you hear a song of ours, you don't mistake it for another band at all. Like you hear the song and you think, oh my goodness, you know, even though this is a different genre than, you know, the last 3 songs I heard, you know, this has got to be a Magma, you know, this can't be another band. We've got 24 tracks. We took, you know, all of our tracks and we said, let's, you know, release something, because we were getting a lot of good feedback on SoundCloud about the, you know, the experiments we had put on there. So we said, we'll release 2 albums. The self-titled A Magma was kind of our Moscow-Kiev transition years. And then our Anti-Gravity album was basically Kiev/Ternopil Yukon and then Ternopil-Kremenets again. And it's more melancholic and you can kind of feel something more pensive in that music. It's, you know, we had a baby and, you know, we were migrating between three countries and all this kind of transition. So it's reflected in the music a bit. And I would say that of the 24 songs there, for free download as well, like anyone can access it at www.amigma.com. It has all the formats except WAVE there for free download.
So your website is umagma, U-M-M-A-G-M-A.com.
Right.
What is that? Does that have
an origin? Yes, actually. Once upon a time, my husband was really into Pink Floyd. And there's an album there, and I'm going to pronounce it wrong. It's something like Omagoma or Amagama. And he was a big fan of this band. And he couldn't say that word, but he thought it was kind of cool looking or whatever. And he condensed it to create the word Amigma, which he used on all of kinds of, you know, music equipment and photography equipment and technique forums, like that he was chatting in. And one day I saw, like, oh, your handle is Amigma. That's pretty cool. And he said, yeah, it's not just my handle on the forums. It's my email address too. I'm like, well, you know what? I want to confiscate that name and use it for our band.
You're a vocalist. Did you take professional singing lessons?
Never in my life.
Really?
No. It's when I was living in Siberia, I started singing. There's a lot of house parties because there was no bar scene in Siberia. I mean, in the town I was living in, Yakutsk. So people would have house parties and then, you know, someone would pop out a guitar and then everyone, it would be like a kind of a sing-along. And then some people were composing on their own. And I thought, well, you know, if they can do it, why can't I do it? You know, they're also just, you know, amateurs. And so I started performing like, you know, Sarah McLachlan covers and you know, Sinead O'Connor and traditional Celtic tunes and stuff like that. And then I learned at that point that I actually could sing and I was already 27 years old. So I didn't even know before that I could sing.
What language do you communicate in?
This is a lot of people are not going to like me for this answer. When I'm in Ukraine, I'm communicating in Russian. I understand Ukrainian, and that's why that's why I can live there no problem, because people speak to me in Ukrainian and then I answer in Russian. I learned Russian through formal lessons. I was actually able to pick stuff up that way, and that happened with French too. I wasn't able to learn French just by living in Quebec. I went to Quebec to learn French, but just hanging out with people who spoke French wasn't enough. I had to go through formal lessons. And the same thing happened with Russian. So now when I'm there in Ukraine, I've never had formal lessons of Ukrainian. For me, the main thing is that I'm understood and that I understand. That I just wanted to communicate with people. I wanted to talk to people and interview them and, you know, pick their brain. And that's what it was all about for me.
Mm-hmm. And so now you kind of transfer that and you do it
yeah.
Musically.
Yeah. And so, and I guess you could say the closest association our music has to Ukraine is the fact that my husband's always picking up these little pipes and whistles and stuff, Carpathian whistles and stuff, and he's putting them in odd places in our music.
Are you not doing any Ukrainian lyrics?
No, I only sing in English, and I am of the belief that people are closest heart-wise and intellectually to doing things in the language that is their native language, and for me it's English. My husband actually is not into any Ukrainian bands that are singing in English. Because he figures if a Ukrainian band has Ukrainian as their mother tongue, this should be broadcast to the world in Ukrainian. So the reason why we do it is because I'm the vocalist and because English is native to me, you know. And so at the same time, when I'm writing lyrics for him, you know, then all of a sudden I'm saying, okay, Alex, this is what I've written for you, because I can't do that in Ukrainian. So, he then, you know, practices with me, not vocal training, but pronunciation training for the few songs that he's singing. And then he puts it out there. But, you know, it's something that we do together. Like we coach and practice it together. And then he sings it.
In English. Okay.
But he's singing it because I want the message to get out that's in that song. But I'm composing that for his vocal range.
Right. Now, are you going to ever thinking of flipping it around where he will he'll have the Ukrainian lyrics and help you to sing them in Ukrainian.
I don't think so because he's already, just for his own vocals, he's also a little bit shy to go forward with his own vocals in Ukraine, even though that's his native language. So I guess you could say he's the bravest in our band when he's on instrument, you know, doing all the instruments.
Yeah.
And he wants me to have a place in the band. So, and all I do is vocals and lyrics and arrangements. So he tries to make that space always available to me. So I'm the one singing. So I think that's it. The main thing is that he's expressing himself musically and I'm expressing myself lyrically.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it will happen one day, but it's something that probably is not a priority. The main thing is that we're both expressing ourselves
musically.
Yeah. We hear some bands that are, for example, Nameless, right?
Mm-hmm.
They've become famous in a lot of places and they're singing in Ukrainian and that never bothered their fans in Amsterdam or Brazil, you know? And so that's the kind of thing that we admire, when a band in Ukraine is singing in Ukrainian and they still broadcast that to the world and they find ways, they find avenues to get the music out there, regardless of perceived language barriers. And so we admire that more than, I don't know, some famous Ukrainian singer is switching her whole repertoire to English to try win a new audience abroad.
I think that speaks to authenticity, don't you?
Well, I think it speaks to the heart and to the listeners' hearts too. I mean, I think that they can feel that whether something is genuine or unnatural. Yeah. It's not really so much that, it's my way or the highway. It's just that, this is the route that we've traveled and it's more than a band route. It's our family route. It's everything, that's a really good word, is route. So these are our roots. We're putting down roots and this is part of our growth. And the music is growing with us and we're growing with the music and with every development in our family and our surroundings, it's all reflected in the music. One thing that I don't think that most Ukrainians or Canadians would know, or Ukrainian Canadians or Canadian Ukrainians, is there was a competition this year on the Amazing Radio, which is one of Britain's largest radio stations, called the Alternative Eurovision. So it happened a week before the big Eurovision.
And
we won on behalf of Ukraine.
Well, congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you. There was 21 countries involved and we were just flipping out oh my God, how did this happen? This is awesome. I know the world's eyes are on us. I'm not saying that we're so massively popular that everyone's watching us, but we know there's quite a few thousand people watching us from all over. We've had something 210 unique press articles on us in 30 countries in the past year.
Wow.
And we're on radio in 31 countries. So we know that, there's people watching us. And so they're watching us, I think, in part, this is going to surprise you, in part because we're from, because we're based in Ukraine. And a lot of us are, a lot of them perceive us as a Ukrainian band, because when have they ever in their life heard of a Ukrainian band outside of Ukraine? Hardly ever. So we have fans in Argentina and Indonesia and Pakistan. We have them all over. And they look at us as a Ukrainian band.
That's amazing. And you sing in English.
Yeah, and we sing in English.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean anything to them because, people are singing in English all over the place now.
Yeah. Well, you're breaking new ground and you're doing incredible stuff. Thank you so much for giving us this insight and keep producing that music. Дякую.
Будь ласка.